Today on Seculo, an NYC boycott begins. Truckers stop shipments after fraud ruling against Trump.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo, folks. There is a lot to talk about today and to break down. First off the bat, of course, the truckers and what that will impact in New York City specifically. These truckers are independent truckers, 1.7 million of the 3.6 million truckers in America are independent. I want to hear from truckers. I know we've got a lot of listeners out there who are truckers. If you give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, if you're on the road, hopefully hands-free, give us a call. We will make your calls a priority. We want to hear what you think about this boycott in light of the fact that New York City has imposed this massive over $300 million fine on President Trump, barring him from running the companies for 3 years. As we said, it's not the worst case scenario for President Trump. He didn't get a receivership. He's not barred for life. But it also adds some complications. We're going to get into that legal side of that in the next segment of the broadcast with a former assistant U.S. attorney and U.S. attorney, Andy Economou, who's on our ACLJ team. So you don't want to miss that out. But I really do want to hear from truckers because, again, when we were talking about in our meeting, we were thinking, yeah, don't most truckers probably work for companies now? And the truth is it's about split. Again, 1.7 million of the 3.6 million truckers can make this independent decision on their own to say, I'm not going to carry that load to New York. I will carry a different load. So I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. They're not blocking the streets. It's not a blockade. It's just them as individuals taking action. Of course, we support that kind of action at the ACLJ because we do believe that this was just an absurd ruling. Think about it like this. This is the same judge who said Mar-a-Lago is worth, what, like $15 to $18 million? You cannot buy a lot in Palm Beach right now that's half the size of Mar-a-Lago, the lot, for under $20, $25, $30 million. So imagine what Mar-a-Lago would be worth today when we've seen the boom in Palm Beach. I mean, it's probably is close to what President Trump said. It'd probably be one of the more expensive home sales in the United States in history. I don't know if it gets to $1 billion, but certainly could get to hundreds of billions of dollars. Also because the way it's zoned, you've got a private club, you've got nine holes of golf, you've got all of the event space. I mean, the list goes on and on in a very narrow area of Palm Beach. So we'll talk about that as well. What could happen? You know, what does Trump do next in New York? Obviously, that is very key as well, other than just dropping, by the way, a little hint to later in the show, some very sweet gold Trump sneakers because he went to SneakerCon. This is the kind of candidate I like, going to untraditional places where he needs to receive a vote. So, again, we're going to get into all of that. Rashida Tlaib's comments coming out against Biden as well because why? He happens to support Jews and the Jewish state of Israel. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you let our call screeners know you're a trucker, you are the first calls I will take regardless. So 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you, truckers. And we're also, of course, we've got our new prayer guide out. That's, again, at aclj.org/pray. And with so many challenges to liberty, I haven't gotten through just all the timing that's coming. Wait for that in the next segment of the broadcast and what we expect to happen next with the Trump cases. The ACLJ is vigilantly engaged in the biggest battles we face the nation. Your donations allow us, of course, to fight, but the power of prayer continues to support our efforts as well. Over 87,000 of you have joined us in prayer and downloaded our free, it's new, prayer guide. To get our all new 2024 ACLJ prayer guide, go to aclj.org/pray. Share it with your friends and family. We've seen your prayers at work this year. I can point to so many different items. Wins in courts, wins in Congress, wins overseas. We know prayer works. We'll be right back on Seculo, breaking it all down for you. Truckers, give us a call. Rutgers. It starts today. 1-800-684-3110. They will boycott. These are independent trucking. You've got your own truck. You get to decide which shipments you pick up. And they are going to boycott shipments to New York City. We will see how many of the 1.7 million average independent truckers actually engage in this and how it impacts New York City. But remember, again, we've seen a number of blockades like this in places like Canada as well. This is not a blockade. This is not going to stop traffic in New York. This is just trying to send a signal that, you know, you ban one of our probably somebody who provides a lot of business to those truckers in all those different apartment buildings and all those different condos and offices and Trump Tower and hotels. And you 386 million dollars. I mean, just insane numbers. And again, we're going to go to the truckers. I told you I'd go to you right away, and I am. David is in Texas on line three. Hey, David, you're a truck driver, which means you're the backbone of our country and your reason why we get the supplies we need, even in this studio, to produce this broadcast both on air and over the air. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was making a comment that truck drivers trying to organize truck drivers is like trying to herd a bunch of blind cats with rotten smelly cheese or something. We're very, you know, the reason we're out here is we're independent. And we don't like people telling us what to do. This movement is really more about, more than just being about Trump. There's a lot of, and especially blue states, make it very difficult for trucks. And so sending a message to New York can actually have a much larger effect. We just want some respect and to be treated like we are. And I mean, and really that treatment, we can look at the way Trump's being treated and say, you know what, we feel for the guy.
Right.
You know, so there's that, and that's probably why he gets so much of our, attention, is because we know how we can feel the way he's being treated.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true for all Americans, not just truckers. David, can I ask you, and you don't have to disclose anything personal, if it is, just tell me, are you an independent driver?
I am not. I do work 1099, though. I work for a very small company. We're affected by things very quick.
Yeah. Do you all plan to still deliver? Are you still in that kind of discussion?
What I do is hopper bottom. So it's not a lot that we go in and out of up there anyway. Very rarely do we.
Okay.
I support them, and I'd be making the same decision if it impacted your
company to that level. It just seems like it's not one of those. But David, I think what you're talking about is the direct impact. And of course the American people see it too. They have the same feelings. And I think they have the same feelings too. Andy Economo, bringing him in, a former U.S. attorney, Andy, on this absurd Trump $355 million civil fraud verdict, when he has paid back all of his creditors. I didn't see any testify to say that they did not get their money back. So he's made, lots of people rich. He's been doing great things for New York. They even took down his ice skating rink or renamed it. And it would be a sad day if Donald Trump, who's even floated, just left New York completely. I mean, well, because of the skyline that he has attributed to.
Well, that's absolutely right, Jordan. You have a victimless crime here. You've got a crime in which there are no victims, nobody who has been harmed, nobody who has been hurt, nobody who has suffered financial loss, and yet you impose this enormous fine on him for doing business and succeeding. And I don't understand how a judge can think that that is advancing the cause of justice in any way when you have a business person who has done so much for the city of New York, for the nation for that matter, and what you're doing is stifling him.
I'm going to take Robert's call in Maryland because it sets up the next question perfectly that I've got for Andy. Hey, Robert, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jordan? I wanted to know if you could give me more details on the judgment this judge has passed down on this $355 million penalty against Donald Trump in relationship to his businesses in New York.
So, Andy, Andy, we talked about last week, the best case scenario, of course, would be getting this tossed. That was unlikely. The worst case scenario was losing forever your ability to do business in New York. He was not. It was 3 years. But let's tell people what has changed. It's kind of a middle of the ground, other than the penalty. I think the penalty is so extreme. And he's only got days, I mean, like, to start that appeal. The appeal, of course, you're spending more and more money on that. So what happens now? He did not get let's do this. A lot of people talked about a receivership. That means zero control by anyone at the Trump. He couldn't put a new CEO in and kind of have a conversational period. So that was a great win. But there were other people put in place to slow things down.
That's true, Jordan. There are two instances in which the judge has sort of put the brakes on what the Trump Organization can do and Trump can do himself, apart from the fact that he and his sons are barred for 3 and 2 years respectively. What the judge did is he continued Judge Barbara Jones, who's a retired federal judge, in her role as an independent monitor in the case, for a period of no less than 3 years. Now, what is a monitor? A monitor kind of looks over your shoulder and sees what you do and reports to the judge. She has made several reports to the judge. There was sort of an agreement between the Trump Organization and her before this order came out that any transfers of over $5 million would not have to be approved by the monitor. Well, apparently $40 million was transferred on one occasion and the monitor was not told. So that got Judge Engoron worried and upset. So what has happened is the Judge Jones, the monitor's role and duties, and I'm reading from the order, shall be enhanced from those operative during the preliminary injunction. As her observations over the past 14 months indicate that still more oversight is required. What is the enhancement?
Yeah.
The Trump Organization shall be required to obtain prior approval from Judge Jones before submitting any financial disclosure to a third party so that such disclosure may be reviewed beforehand for material misrepresentations.
Yes, I mean, you still got to go through a process. A lot of people, Andy, have pointed out family members who are not involved in this. Eric and Don Jr., of course, cannot. They were also barred for a shorter period of time.
Right.
But people have talked a lot about Ivanka Trump, who is not barred in any way by this move, and even potentially Melania Trump as well, to kind of be that interplay between this moderator and this person doing the financial oversight and the Trump Organization. So there are plenty of options available to him. He's just got to choose someone he really trusts.
That's right. There also is an appointment of a director of compliance, and that person is to be responsible, as it says, for ensuring good financial and accounting practices, and he shall establish internal written protocols for financial reporting and shall also approve any financial disclosures to third parties in advance of submission. So in two instances where he didn't have to do, Trump and them didn't have to do stuff, could do it and then submit it to the monitors and the compliance officer, they now have to have prior oversight and approval by the monitor and the director of compliance before they do something like that.
Truckers, we've got a couple of your phone calls up right now. And if you call us at 1-800-684-3110, there's no wrong answers here, by the way. I'm not going to judge you. Some of you work for private companies. You don't get to make the decision about where the freight goes. But we know 1.8 million of the 3.7 truckers, the backbone of America. Certainly, we thank all of you for what you do, provide for us and our kids and families. Again, contact us. Would you take part in this? And are you taking part in this as it begins today? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and we will get you up first. And that's what I'm going to do right now, because it ties directly into the court case we're talking about with Andy. Let's go to Daniel in North Dakota on line 5. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I don't go into New York anyway or any of these other Democratic cities because they're just freaking unsafe. And New York itself is absolutely astronomical in price. Every time you cross the GW going into New York, it's over $100.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brooklyn Bridge is $30 both ways. I mean, it's too expensive, but it's just unsafe. And to me, it's just corrupt over there. I don't like going over there.
Yes, that's interesting. So even before this, we had that in the later call, that this impact could impact other blue states because of the amount of money they charge these truckers to even get into the city to deliver the goods that their citizen needs. You think it'd be like the opposite. Maybe you'd incentivize it, build better lanes for them, make it easier to get into the city instead of making it more difficult. But Andy, back to the case. We'll continue to take truckers' calls too. Andy's going to stay with us in the next segment as well because we've got a lot of calls coming in. What happens next, Andy, in the case side? So I would think a close member of the Trump family or business associate will be named so that they can move forward. He's got to figure out, one, whether to appeal this $350 million, which I would imagine he would want to, but you've got to then put 10% down as well. It's a lot of cash. He's got these cases all over the country. So what do you think happens next?
I think...
All right, welcome back to Secul. So before I get back to your calls, and again, if you're a trucker, you're going to be up first. We're prioritizing your calls at 1-800-684-3110 because if you're just joining us, independent truckers have are putting together, and there's 1.8 million of them. I don't know if all of them will participate. There's 3.7 million truckers, you know, across the country. So this is nearly half of the truckers. And Andy, we were talking about before we got to that, and give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. If you're an independent operator, are you going to take part in this boycott of getting goods into New York? Specifically, again, I know if you work for a company, you may feel like you'd like to do that. I don't want you to be quitting your jobs because you guys are the backbone of our economy. But for the legal case, before I get back to that, Andy,
yeah,
what happens? What does Donald Trump do next?
Okay, the next step, of course, is to take the case that has been found against him in the Supreme Court. When the Supreme Court of New York, remember, is the lowest trial court in New York State, even though they call it the Supreme Court. The next step is to move to the appellate division. That's an intermediate appellate court in New York. And so he can appeal, Trump can appeal this ruling of Judge Engoron to the appellate division of the Supreme Court and see what the appellate division does. Now, this was, and I've read it, it's about a 95-page ruling in this case in which the judge goes into great detail about financial matters and financial transactions that took place and his findings and conclusions of law. That should not scare anybody just because it's a long order, but it is comprehensive, and they're going to defer to the findings of fact that are made by the trial judge in this case.
Yep. So if you were him, do you put up the 10% and move forward?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I would say that I would do that. Really, and move forward. I really would in this case and get it. I mean, 3 years is going to be gone before you know it. Right. And he doesn't lose control of his organization as a receiver would have done. That would have been devastating if the judge had appointed a receiver or a trustee to take over. He's got a monitor who's just going to look at him a little bit more under the microscope. He's going to look at things before they occur, not after they occur. And a compliance officer, which actually is a good idea. Internally, it's not a bad idea to have an internal compliance officer to make sure you comply with the rules and regulations of the state, of the SEC, and so forth, to whomever you report. So in a sense, I think that did him a favor, the compliance officer.
You can figure out the $350 million, but get this compliance officer in over this 3 years. It's pretty tough for them to come back 3 years later and say, you were doing things wrong because they signed off on all of it.
That's right. The compliance officer is going to come in 3 years from now after this period of monitoring, and that's 36 months, and they're going to ask him questions about what went on, and they're going to say, well, Mr. Compliance Officer, Ms. Compliance Officer, you agreed to this. You found this to be the case. You found and blessed it and said that it was okay that it was doing. How hard is it going to be at that point to put further sanctions on Trump? Pretty hard at that point.
All right, so let's get back to the phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I can tell the truckers are fired up. So I want to go right back to those phones. We're going to go in order. Ron in Wisconsin, online too. Ron, first, let me thank you for being part of the backbone of America. You're on the air.
Yeah, appreciate it. I want to support the truckers independent that can afford to not go back to New York. You know, stay out of there. I don't need to anymore. I don't need to go to New York.
Okay. So you think, is there widespread support, Ron, within the independent trucking community for this move? It seems from our callers that there is, but I kind of like to get the bigger sense.
Yeah, I think that there is truckers and most everybody else that I would talk to were real tired of the way things are going on in this country, and that Donald Trump case, that's terrible. That's so un-American. I can't believe it.
Yep.
That they can even have to go to court for something like that.
Well, and he's such a big supplier too. I mean, to New York. I mean, you would think about all the hotels, all the things that are being delivered just to Donald Trump properties, not to everything else in New York. So it's a huge move. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Randall in Tennessee on line six. I love you all calling today, truckers, because this is really a show the American people need to hear from you about what kind of impact this could have. Randall, you're on the air.
What happens, I've been doing this 45 years, done a lot of New York stuff, and what happens is trucks get short, is what a broker would call it, so the price goes up, and then somebody will take it anyway, so the people in New York pay the price.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this goes back, Andy, to the idea that President Trump has floated, he's already moved the company out of New York to Florida, but obviously doing most of the business still is in those assets in Florida. I mean, in New York. But he's floated the idea of selling it all off and starting over in places that are more friendly.
Yeah, why not? I mean, why would you stay in a state and stay in the belly of the beast? I mean, this is an adverse state. It's a hostile state. New York, I'm talking about, treats him poorly. Who's the victim here in this case? Who lost money? What creditors were defrauded? What people suffered financial losses as a result of anything President Trump and his organization did? The answer to all those questions is no one and nothing. Why would you stay there? I'd get up and move it.
I want to go to Wayne in Texas online, too. This is about the case. It all ties in together. Hey, Wayne, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Yeah, I don't understand the complexities of commercial financing like they're going through. But just on my own level, if I was going to put my house up for sale or I was going to contact a bank for, say, an equity loan, I tell them what I think it's worth. Then they get back with me what they think it's worth. I put it up for sale and somebody else gets back with and it goes on. This would be like the government coming on and going, oh, no. You're cheating people by trying to value it at that price, and we're going to punish you.
Yeah, I think, again, this idea that there were no witnesses, Andy, that said he didn't pay his loans back, right there.
I mean, there was no one that was harmed in the case, and I keep coming back. I was a prosecutor most of my life. Victimless crimes, you don't get convictions on. You don't get bad results and bad judgments, and yet in this case, you've got a victimless crime in which no one was harmed, and a $350 million fine was imposed as a judgment on behalf of the Attorney General of New York. What did that accomplish except hurt a business, the Trump Organization?
Yeah, and again, when he values Mar-a-Lago at 10 or 12 million, even though it can't buy those lots, this number just seems kind of made up. I mean, Andy, it's like this judge made it up, but it could lead to a criminal trial.
It could very well lead to
the second part of this.
Well, that's what they're up to here. They're just setting him up. What they're doing is setting him up for future criminal trials, and that those two are not going to succeed, as the one I think in Georgia is going to fall apart, and I think the one in the District of Columbia is going to fall apart too. Leave the man alone. He's doing good for the country in terms of the economy in New York, and yet now you're imposing a huge fine on him. Where does that get you? Nowhere, in my opinion.
All right, so what's up on the Trump legal calendar very quickly, folks? So we are waiting. That's President's Day, so we won't likely get the order from the U.S. Supreme Court, the decision on the 14th Amendment, but Andy, probably early this week. So
yeah,
probably tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, but certainly I would think by the end of this week because so many people are voting. You've also got the immunity issue as well. I mean, so a lot at the Supreme Court on the stay on that about how Jack Smith will proceed. So we've got a lot to talk about politics as well. And we encourage you to give us a call if you're one of those truckers. We're going to talk about it throughout the show. 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget the ACLJ's brand new prayer guide, absolutely free. ACLJ.org/pray. share it with your friends and family.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Right now, a full bank of calls because we've asked truckers to call in at 1-800-684-3110 if they are planning, if they're independent truckers, to take part in this move to boycott shipments to New York City. Now, you may say, hey, I thought most truckers work for big companies. Actually, about half don't. 1.8 million of the estimated 3.6 million are independent, so they can make that decision on their own. So we're hearing from them. We'll go to their phone calls as well. ACLJ Action. Also, there's a dangerous, as you know, Court of Appeals nominee coming up that we've opposed at ACLJ Action. We've got more information about them. I mean, this was a person who was a member of the advisory board of Rutgers Law School Center for Security, Race, and Rights. Proudly helped brainwash students into hating both Israel and America. That group justified the atrocities of October 7th in Israel by Hamas and the September 11th terrorist attack. Already 7,000 of you have joined in opposition to this judicial nominee. I mean, Logan, this is someone highly controversial because of their continued relationship with this very radical Islamic group. And this is a judge who's supposed to be taking the oath to the United States Constitution, not taking an oath to Sharia law or the Palestinian state.
Yeah, we're seeing it all around the country. I wish it was just, just isolated to this incident. But we are seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it on the streets. We're seeing, governors have to come out and say, our state won't tolerate this kind of thing. You know, it's crazy that we're still living in this time where this is the process that's happening right now. You have Eurovision. There's threats of Israel being able to compete. And a bunch of Israeli and Jewish Americans or supporters of Israel had to come out and say, no, you should let them compete in a song contest. And of course, at least Eurovision said, okay, fine, we're going to let Israel compete. They did not let Russia compete a year or two ago. So it was a whole conversation.
Is Russia back now?
Russia's not back. They're not allowing Russia.
Do they allow Russians?
Well, no, because I think they said there was a problem with like the business, doing business type deals with the national side of it. But there was a whole debate over that, but it became this driving force. We still got a lot of callers also coming in.
Yeah, of course, 1-800-684-3110 if you are a trucker. Let me take one more right now who's been holding on. Dan in Oregon on line 4. These are interesting too about how these independent truckers are deciding where and where not to go. Hey, Dan.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm an independent contractor, and I don't go to the Northeast as much as possible.
Just in general, just not making the.
Is it the money like the others are talking about? It's so expensive to even get inside the city to make the delivery.
Yes.
So this is what we go back to, Logan. This is more than just about New York City.
Yeah, it's regulations.
This is a signal to blue states to say, you want your goods, stop making it impossible for us to go by these penalties and all these fines, plus on top of that, all the extra cost it takes just to deliver goods that your people need.
Well, without having a show like this where we're able to talk to people actually on the ground doing this job, I would never have known that. I would never have known that there's a cost difference for a trucker to make their deliveries in New York or not. So for them making that decision to not deliver to New York City, like I really loved the first caller we had. It said really has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It really has to do with the fact that this is what we're dealing with on a daily basis. So with that, I find it really kind of fascinating. I never would have thought from that perspective. They certainly want to go out and demonize these characters. And look, there's part of me that looked at it this morning and goes, I do wish sometimes, people do their job, is it that? But then I look at it and I listen to the callers. We're having an in-depth conversation, and you should go back and listen to that call if you didn't hear it, because really able to break down what it is for these truck drivers and for these companies to make their deliveries to some of these blue states, not necessarily just New York. So yeah, some things may push them over the edge, but it's not always politically motivated in the traditional sense.
Folks, and Logan, your team put together the ACLJ.org prayer guide, and we've had really big support. Over 80,000 people have downloaded it.
Yeah.
Tell people about what the team is doing here, because it shows you just more of the work that we do at the ACLJ.
You should check out the ACLJ prayer guide for sure. I'll lead you through a lot of the topics. We have an amazing media team. I've said here, we're kind of equal parts legal and media, and our writing staff put together this, and our graphic design team put together this really beautiful prayer guide that gets updated fairly frequently, so you can download new editions. But it's available right now. This is sort of the quarterly version, so January through March, really give you specifics on what to pray about in terms of the ACLJ. We'll be right back.
Seculo, and now we're getting some issues involving politics, but I want to take it. We're taking calls from truckers throughout the show today, 1-800-684-3110, on this idea to stop delivering to New York City. It begins today. We will see in the next few days how big of an impact it can have. There's up to 1.8 million truckers who can do this. The rest, about half more, work for private companies, so they again don't have that same kind of autonomy. And we'll get to your calls, like Jeff's in Arizona on line three. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Question for you is this: the funds in the judgment, who utilizes those? Where do they go? And to what extent do they return them if they don't use them?
Oh, it goes to the government. I mean.
That's been a topic of conversation all week.
I'll go to Harry right now.
Which is, where does this money go?
The $355 million is a fine going to New York.
Absolutely. And I suspect a large fraction of that fine will be used to fund housing for illegal migrants in the city of New York. It is clear beyond question that Eric Adams and the governor have adopted a policy which essentially gives a preference to illegals vis-a-vis the citizens of New York City and the citizens of the state of New York.
All right, so let's get into some politics, and we're going to get right back to the truckers issue. Rashida Tlaib, this is interesting because it's talking kind of like the breakdown of what's happening inside the Democrat Party by some of these extreme members. You know, she's in Michigan. Michigan is, in my mind, it's the new Ohio. Ohio has become deeply red. Michigan, it's like 50-50. Republicans win it one term, Democrats win it the next. It kind of depends on what's going on economically. But take a listen to what she told her supporters to do when asked on their primary whether or not they should vote for President Biden. Take a listen.
It is also important to create a voting block, something that is a bullhorn to say enough is enough. We don't want a country that supports wars and bombs and destruction. We want to support life. We want to stand up for every single life killed in Gaza. We feel completely neglected and just unseen by our government. If you want us to be louder, then come here and vote uncommitted.
Okay, so here's the difference is that would be a big hit to President Biden to potentially, even if it's just her district, lose that support, because those have been kind of the backbone of making sure he gets over the top in Michigan are those immigrant communities, auto workers in that area, and of course the Rashida Tlaib crowd. He still tries to make sure that he gets votes from that world. And that's why I think he's even throwing out the possibility of a Palestinian state.
Absolutely. So approximately 90% of the voters in the city of Dearborn and the Dearborn area vote Democrat consistently, in part because the Democrats have favored increasingly the Palestinian cause versus the nation state of Israel. It's quite interesting to listen to Rashida Tlaib, who has announced that she supports life, but apparently only Palestinian, not Israeli life. It's also important to note that she opposes rape, but she does not necessarily oppose rape by Hamas. Instead, she argues she cannot oppose the sexual violence engaged in by Hamas. Why? Because she argues that Israel has engaged in sexual violence. But I think at the end of the day, many of those voters are strongly committed to the Democratic Party. Hence, they may not vote in the primary, but they may vote in the general election. But the key issue for the Democratic Party is whether they actually come out to vote.
Right,
that is the real issue.
They've had trouble with young people on college campuses, who is also a core base for them because of the issue of Israel and the radicalization that's happened there. You start adding that to bigger communities across the country, and suddenly, if they don't show up to vote, and you're in a state that's going to go, you know, by a percent or less, and could determine the outcome of who is the next commander in chief, you're in trouble as a Democrat.
Like, there's a reason why the Biden administration got on TikTok. There's a reason why all of this effort is being put in place to try to rally a younger base, because they know they're losing them. They're not necessarily losing them to Donald Trump, by the way. I don't know. I think they're probably losing them to disenfranchisement. They're probably not losing them to a specific candidate. But then if you lose those those voters, let's just say in general, they don't vote, which is what very well could happen, or they vote for a, you know, kind of fringe third party that really doesn't do anything, what happens to a Biden presidency? That's why I think you had someone like President Trump showing up also at SneakerCon this weekend. That became a huge discussion point because, you know, it's a convention for people who are, you know, shoe collectors.
Yeah,
and sneakers, you know, like, you know, Nikes, that kind of stuff. And yes, he was there to launch his shoe, which of course, like a licensing deal.
How many just, are there?
Well, the initial was like 50.
There it is.
There's the gold shoe.
If there were more than 50.
There's plenty on the website, by the way. I'm not an ad for it, but they but aren't that design. But the idea was, you know, he was there to launch a shoe, but really to me, what he was doing was going to reach an audience, and he took some heat for it. And of course, it's ridiculous. That has millions of people, millions of, by the way, young people. If you go into any of your store, your sneaker shops around the country, what you're mostly going to find is high school students and maybe a little bit older.
You That's know, why.
I'm one of them.
So am I.
But I do feel old when I'm in those rooms. I saw, look, I follow a ton of those accounts. And all of a sudden, they're all posting about meeting with President Trump. They're all and they're like, look, you may love him, you may hate him. But the conversation got going. I think it was a brilliant move. But it is the same in some ways of, like I said, of Biden going on TikTok. It's how do we connect with a young group of voters who maybe don't have a preference. I think the sneaker community probably is millions of people who don't really care. Or if they care, they may not have a reason. Now all of a sudden you've given them a reason to support President Trump. Find it very interesting. I think it was a brilliant move. You know, that to me is very similar to this, which is if you're losing the college campuses, which clearly both sides seem to be now over the issue of Israel, which is insane, by the way, that is where we are in society. And I absolutely hate it. We saw it with the Modest Yahoo concerts being canceled across the country. We're seeing just this really violent turn.
Cancellation of Jews, which is what happens first in countries that have persecuted Jews.
It's really awful.
First, you're kicked out of society.
Yeah. So it's really awful to see this happening. But now you're starting to kind of see the political response. Now, I don't think the Trump sneakers one was a response to Israel or not Israel, but I think the TikTok was.
He always, that I think is, it's finding new voters. It's what put him over the top so big in 2016 and what he probably needed to do more of in 2020 because you got to really work him to get him to vote.
Yeah, can you show, and can you be a person who can show up to SneakerCon and then the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in the same week and rally those people where, you know, Nikki Haley turned down the opportunity to be at the National Religious Broadcast.
I mean, he's got events. He'll do an event with Kid Rock. He'll do an event with.
That's what I'm saying.
He's able to put these coalitions together that no other politician's been able to do.
Yeah.
And this time around, I think he's actually taking it seriously that I need these 1-2% here. I need this group here.
Yeah, if it's an extra 500,000 people, it's nothing to laugh at.
No, not
or
at all.
Or a million or whatever
it
be.
And people travel to that sneaker con. It's huge.
Yeah, it's a huge event.
Back to Tlaib as well. I really do think, Andy, of course, her version of this anti-Semitism and anti-Israel is it gets to the ideas they want to start it here. But I think, like Logan was saying, they want to get to the young people in America to kind of push this message to at least embarrass Biden in the primary and potentially decide to stay home, which would probably elect Donald Trump easily because of his support of Israel, which he's been very strong on until the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. So I think at the end of the day, one of the deficiencies that Joe Biden has is his inability to connect with voters first and then to communicate with voters second. And I would argue that that has been one of Donald Trump's strengths, particularly in the 2016 election. And I would agree with Logan's commentary that President Trump hasn't the ability to communicate in unconventional ways. There's a brilliant book out called The Public, and it argues that one of the things that we've lost in this country is the ability of elites to influence the outcome of elections and governmental policy. So if you just look around the world, you've seen a huge turnover in part because the elite has lost the capacity to communicate. And I think Donald Trump has illustrated the ability to communicate in unconventional ways, not necessarily focused on policy, but focused on ideas that connect particularly with young people.
Yeah, I think, again, he's got to get the young voters. He's got to get the immigrant voters. I mean, these are the key for Joe Biden. If he doesn't, he's in big trouble. he's in real trouble, especially if the Trump campaign can get into the suburbs with a good candidate and this abortion issue, which has been hurting Republicans, and just explain. He went out this week, Logan, I thought it was interesting, and said, you know what, I'm still for the 16 weeks, which has been a toss around the federal level. So he's been clear on his position, but he still wants to negotiate something and kind of move on past this issue for now. And, of course, the battle in the states, which we did not do a good enough job in. We needed to do more education. We've all learned that now. But it's interesting just to see how of all these different politics coming into play.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we got one more segment coming up. We're going to take as many calls as we can and get to your comments as well. Thank you so much for everyone who's on hold right now. We're going to do our best to get to you. Go to aclj.org/prayer to get your prayer guide and support the work of the ACLJ in general. Really appreciate it and know that we do. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls, the final segment of the broadcast. You know, by the way, if you didn't get the gold Trump shoe, there are some others available, Logan, that you informed me of, and I mean, I might have to put an order in.
There you go. You can do that.
We can make a statement. You get your T on the side, 45 POTUS, coming red, white. I'm seeing
you get the dog tag, you can get the whole deal.
And even cologne.
The cologne with the head
Trump's
on it.
Trump's head on it, which, again,
it's a
collector
bit much,
item.
But all right.
I think it's pretty cool. Let's go back to
and
the
phone. Those are all licensing deals. If you really look at the fine print, you know,
right.
you're not making a political donation. You're not buying something from President Trump. Even it's just people who have licensed his name. But the thing is, when you license his name, you usually get some behind it, like you did with those cards.
Right.
There's always a little bit more something to it than just a brand deal. So, but remember that when you're looking at these things. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Who do you want to start with? You want to start with Dennis?
Yeah, we'll go to Dennis in Arizona online too. Hey, Dennis.
They'll move back to truckers.
Hey, if this was a victimless crime, then who had the standing to bring this case, and can't jurisdiction be challenged at any time?
Dennis, this is the question. These are the questions that keep coming up. I think you need to explain this because
yeah,
this has come up. Where does the money go? I see that going on a lot in our chat or comments.
This was brought by
infrastructure in New York.
Letitia James. So yeah. New York, so $355 million if that is upheld. It is interesting. It is a victimless crime in that sense, but New York State has a specific law that says even if there are no victims, we can still find you guilty. So even though we do know that their banks came and testified, not all of that audio was live. Remember, they just allowed photos sometimes, who all testified coming in saying they were repaid on time. They wanted to do more business with President Trump. This is not just hurting, you know, President Trump's business. He'll figure this out in New York. He's got people he can put in charge. It's hurting the business of these banks because he's got properties all over the world, and he was someone safe to lend to because ultimately he paid them back. And that's the goal, especially on these bigger loans that you take out. So now they're in a situation too. The Trump effect, it's a trickle-down effect because the amount of properties, businesses,
employees.
Golf courses, employees that he owns all around the world. And I think we just all have to remember that when you talk about these decisions, which I believe are just so unfair, but also the reality we live in politics, Logan, which means if this is how politicians are going to be treated, who do you think is going to run for office in the next 4 years? And the next 4 years, it's not going to be people you can trust anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be people who can afford to risk it all, I guess, or have no reason to really do anything else.
Yeah,
I don't see anyone who's at the level of a business success like a President Trump willing to do this.
Billionaires this hard. I mean, who else? You got to be a billionaire to run for president?
Exactly. Or the opposite. Or just have had no experience.
Just like a total grassroots.
Yeah. Let's go continue on. Mike has a similar call. So let's take Mike. You've been on hold for a while in Texas. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys. It was related to the bankers. Like, I'm wondering where the bankers are to speak up for Trump and defend him. And the American people need to hear from these bankers saying, look, we've done business with Trump for years. He sends his evaluation of assets. We put our own numbers to it. We decide to do business, and we've never been heard, and there is no victim. But I think that the media is only showing what's going on in the courtroom as far as the judge. The American people don't get to hear from the voices of the bankers. Yeah. I think even more American people, if they're on the fence, they would side with Trump if they could hear directly from the bankers, hey, we don't understand why he's being penalized, and we don't want him to be penalized.
And this is that New York thing where you can hear as much testimony of that as you want, And if New York still believes that you defrauded those companies somehow, even though they don't believe you did, they can hold you liable. I mean, because it's a bizarre thing that is making Trump and others rethink whether or not just moving your company outside of New York, but literally divesting from the city of New York.
I think it makes it very tough for a lot of people to want to invest more into New York in general or some of these states. But that's why we had this conversation. It's why we have this broadcast that gets a little deeper in that. It's why we had all the truck drivers who called in. We'll have another one that's about to be on the air as well, James, because you're able to kind of reframe your perspective. Because when you only see the media's spin on something, you can immediately lean to, okay, and you start connecting everything. You start connecting the truck drivers in New York similar to the truck drivers in Canada, and people had some issues with that and whether you agreed with it or disagreed with it. But what I didn't realize and what I'm learning is like what James is calling about. Let's go to him, which is what it's like to operate in these states. James, in Nevada, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My question is this. If this judge is just pulling it out of thin air about what the value of the properties are, how many millions, if not billions, has Trump paid in property taxes and sales and purchases? Wouldn't he be able to
estimate on a much smaller number than a President Trump? If you purchase, let's say, a building around, let's say $20 million in New York. Okay. It could be residential, corporate, but you spent $20 million. Your taxes are over $500,000 a year. $500,000 a year after you've bought it.
Just for
so imagine if you own Trump Tower now, what your taxes are a year. So
I'm sure it's different for businesses too.
Yes, but still all those like incentives at this point for him, if those buildings have been there, they've run out. Mm-hmm. Again, I just think that when you get to these issues, listen, I can read it to you because you couldn't get this in the courtroom. Deutsche Bank, which is one of the biggest lenders in the world. And again, you don't get to Deutsche Bank unless you're going to pay your loans back. And they're a very serious company. When Deutsche Bank loaned Donald Trump, they did this under oath company, hundreds of millions of dollars. The bank always followed its own guidelines that included checking out information that would-be borrowers provide. An executive testified Tuesday that former president's civil fraud trial, that they did their own checking. It wasn't like, oh, we trust Donald Trump. He owns a lot of buildings. Deutsche Bank actually had to approve him. And now he's being accused of fraud on Deutsche Bank. So did Deutsche Bank fraudulently analyze Donald Trump? There's no interest in them doing that because they wouldn't get repaid.
Yeah.
You're losing money.
And we're learning so much about this as time goes on. And we encourage everyone to really get educated and to learn more about each one of these topics. And we try to do that here each and every day. Really give you sort of the deepest of dives because these are important topics. They're important topics to go beyond President Trump. I think that it's easy to catch that in the headline. It's easy for us to put that in a title if you don't understand what's happening. But just like with these truck drivers, you learn a lot throughout the hour. And that's what I feel like we did here today. And we couldn't do that without the support. And those of you who watch and listen every day, those who need legal help, we're happy to have it. We couldn't do that without the people who support us. So go to ACLJ.org, support the work of the ACLJ today. And also check out the ACLJ prayer guide. We've been talking about that today. 85,000+ people have signed up and received that prayer guide absolutely free. And we really encourage you to do that as well. It's really simple. ACLJ.org/prayer. And you can find it right there.
And of course, we always encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org with a donation. I mean, that is why we're able to continue not just this broadcast, but you think about the scope of what we discussed today, Logan, with our expert teams on economics, the business side of it, the political side of it, how this all impacts. So I encourage you, go to aclj.org if you can, make a donation. And if you'd like to become a recurring donor, that means as someone who you decide, hey, instead of giving $1,000 today, I could do $100 a month, and that'll equal out to even more than $1,000 to the ACLJ, and it'll just be recurring. Do a number that's comfortable for you at aclj.org/champions. We will talk to you tomorrow. Get the prayer guide, aclj.org/pray, and share that with your friends and family. It's absolutely free. What will happen this week in New York trials for Donald Trump and SCOTUS?